Mentioned last time my man voice isn't as manly as it used to be. I'm not sure why, but I guess it just comes with it. Certainly I am appreciative of the time that we have. As you can see on the screen up here, this is third day of January 2021. And then I got to say, really? Is it really 2021? Did we make it all the way through 2020? And I think I mentioned to you before that I rub elbows with a lot of people who just couldn't wait to dispense of the last year. 2020 was a horrible year. I had a grand time myself, no problem. You know why? Because life's always full of problems. They're just different. They're going to look different this year. Some of them may look the same as they did last year. Who knows? By the end of the year, we may all be wandering around wearing gas masks. You know, whatever someone decides to put upon us. But my point is, it doesn't matter. Thank you, sir. My point is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what comes. The answer is always the same. We believe in and serve a risen Redeemer. As you know, I like to read books. I cheat, though I don't really read them. I listen to them. 99% of the books I read are leadership books. And I just finished one, and I'm started right back through it again. It was very good. And always when I read those books, I say, how can I apply this to the gospel? How can I apply this application of business in spreading the gospel? I'm going to need some help this evening from whoever can help me. Anybody know off the top of their head what this little critter is? Somebody under the age of 20, what is that? It's a hedgehog. What's a hedgehog, Asher?
Tiny animals, but spikes.
The bites? With spikes. I think it probably bites too. But you're right. It has teeth too. It's tiny. It's small. It's not teeny tiny, but as you can see there, it's kind of small. Looks a little like a porcupine miniature. The quills it has, though, don't come off. They're just sticky. How does it defend itself? Anybody tell me how it defends itself? How does it defend itself? What's that? No, it don't shoot quails out. Go ahead. It rolls up into a ball with spikes all over it, so whatever's trying to bite it finally gives up and goes away. They're kind of a cute little guy. They say you can make them a pet. So next time, I don't know what to get Betty McAdoo for her birthday. This seems like a reasonable thing. Little hedgehog, keep around the house, keep you company, trip on once in a while. I don't know, I just don't really want one for a pet myself, but they look like they'd be fun. When they curl up a little ball like that, so a fox or a coyote or something can't bite them. All those little spines go up, stick out in every direction, and has armor, doesn't it? In this book that I read, it draws a comparison to you and I and gives a whole chapter there on watch your hedgehog. What is it that you're really good at, that you're really defensible in? And I hope that something at the top of our list is the gospel, obviously. But my question for you today, though, is do you and I feel like a hedgehog? I probably look like one. But I mean, do we think of ourselves as that, that this is something we have down? We got it. We're able to defend ourselves when it comes to the gospel. We're able to stand. We might get beat up a little bit like this little guy gets rolled around by a fox or a coyote on the dirt until he finally gives up and goes on. But we're able to defend ourselves. We're not conquered. We're not overcome. I have a lot of thoughts on my mind. As I was preparing this sermon, I went back and kind of looked at how many sermons I preached over the last year and some of the points I made in them. And actually brought a couple things forward just because I thought, I'm not sure we got that the first go around. It's my desire this evening to encourage you, to awaken you to the fortification that you have. I mentioned in the past that I really struggle, and I'm going to admit some of my own weakness here. I spent the last 4 years of my life endeavoring to repair or fix some basic character flaws in which I have. Some of them I still have. So it's a work in progress. I haven't finished. But I've really endeavored to take the next step, if you would, on the rung in a management role in my employment, as well as to endeavor to help the church. But with that comes some dangers. Part of the program I was in to help you step up and take the next step is to make you as productive as possible. I've always been a guy who, whether it's Saturday or whatever day of the week it is, I need to get up in the morning and go do something. I think Gordon can relate to this. I need to do something. Trim the tree, mow the grass, build a house, something on Saturday morning. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and he mentioned to me, you know, I'd like to really be sitting at a resort. I'm like, why? I can't comprehend that. That's nothing negative against you guys who like to set at resorts. I personally have no need to set at a resort unless you want to give me a rake so I can rake the beach. Okay? I need to do something. I'm a person who has to be doing something. And in the last few years, I've endeavored to crank the heat up on that, to do more, to be more successful, to be more driven in my spiritual walk, in my physical walk. And maybe it's because I'm getting older. The clock's going to run out. I'm going to run out of time. The Lord only gives us so many years on the earth. The clock's running. I mentioned before that sometimes when we drive through little villages in Africa, there's a whole gang of guys sitting on the front porch of the house. You come back 4 or 5 hours later, and guess what? They're still sitting there. And my little joke became they're just hanging out waiting to die. I hope none of us are hanging out waiting to die. We need to be about the work. Whatever work that is. If it's mowing the grass. Our brother Adam just made a statement. I'm going to talk a little more about it later. Are you prepared to take up your part of the pie of the little Church of Christ on Siesta Lane? To unlock the door every time. To lock the door every time. To teach the Sunday school class. Jared, I hear great things. People are involved in that class, and that's awesome. Are you prepared? Are you willing? I'm fearful, and I want to talk a little bit more about this guy before I move on, but I'm fearful that we live in the day and age of, and I'm going to say this wrong, so, minimalist. You know, when we started years ago, the Camp for All Ages up at the ranch, 2, 3, 4 years into it, I wanted to build bathrooms, I wanted to build showers. I wanted to make it 2 weeks or a week long, not 1 weekend, not 4 days. And I look back at our forefathers in the Church of Christ, they weren't minimalist. They weren't afraid. But you and I, most of us, some of us in this room did the handing, but most of us received on a silver platter this building, the pews, a vacation church school already in progress, a conference already in progress. And if we felt like it, all we had to do is show up and partake. But we didn't have any sweat, blood, tears, dollars into the game. It was all in our forefathers just went before us. What is your hedgehog? Is there something that you're willing and able to do with all your heart? The life of that hedgehog depends upon his defense mechanism working every time. He can't say, well, I don't worry about it this time. He'd only make that mistake once. He'd be dinner for somebody. This is kind of the natural question. Setting goals for the new year, what is the criteria? Let's see by show of hands. How many of you have set some goals? Three or four of us, half a dozen of us. I hope that everybody in this room sets some kind of goal. You can call it whatever you want. New Year's resolution, goal. I don't like New Year's resolutions. They're too easy to just here today, gone tomorrow. Goals are easy enough, but. You know, Gary and I used to teach a class at camp, when we had camp, goal, setting goals. And I'd ask everybody the same question every year. You remember what it was? What's the difference between a goal and a dream? Any of you gentlemen on the front row that's been in my class know? What's the difference between a goal and a dream? A goal, you have a plan to get there. A dream is just something out there, way out there. Maybe I'll be the president one of these days. No, not likely. Not unless you make it a goal and set a plan. So as we look at the new year, 2021, I hope we set some goals. And I hope some of them are spiritual. Read the Bible from cover to cover in 1 year. It's pretty easy to do. Read the Book of Mormon from cover to cover. In 1 year, a little bit of discipline. It's pretty easy to do. Go and visit someone. Not when I get time, once a week. Every week, 52 times in a year. If you make a plan and you set a criteria for your goal, it'll happen. If you just say, I'd like to do that, we'll have this same discussion 1 year from today. And nothing will change. Let's show of hands. How many people like change? A few of us. I love change. I'd change jobs once a month if I could. I love change. I like to meet new people. I like new challenges. New struggles. We need to be able to engage change. There's nothing wrong with being constant either, right? Don't get me wrong. But the only problem with that is if we're not careful, we're constant in not getting things done. Coming from a guy who, like I said, my goal is to be driven, accomplish something every day of my life. Every day of my life. Because I don't know how many days I have left. Our goals should be specific, not as in the ocean. They should be measurable. I'm going to go visit somebody this year in the church. Is that measurable? Maybe if I get it done. What if I say, I'm going to go visit an elderly brother or sister once a month in the church? 4 weeks from now, we can measure that, can't we? And the stuff, the goals and the plans we set at work, everything has to be measurable. by time, by production, by money, whatever it is, it has to be measurable. You haven't accomplished anything if it's not measurable. I'm going to pray 3 times a day. Is that measurable? After day one it is, yeah. You either did it or you didn't. You know, my work, I think I mentioned, I got a 50-foot trailer here and I got a 50-foot trailer here, and we built a porch in between them. And with the COVID thing, we got a big conference room, but we don't use it. So all my foremen and I, we meet every morning on that porch. And on the walls of the trailer, I have big long boards with graphs and floor plans. And each contractor has a color of a marker. And they put on that board right there a commitment they're going to make to these other gentlemen, the other foremen of that, their different trades. And come, guess what? We measure the commitment. Did you make it? And there's no percentage. It's either yes or no. You either accomplished what you committed or you did not. And I think you and I, it would help us if we thought that way. It's easy to say, well, one of these days I'll do this or I'll do that. This young man sitting right back there, two of them and I, have made a desire, a loose goal, a dream of climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. I've told Andrew a couple times in recent years, if we're going to do it, we better get it done. I'm going to be too old. Okay? There's only one way to make that dream into a tangible goal. I'm going to climb Squaw Peak once a week. And we're buying a plane ticket. And we're reserving a guy to help us get up the mountain on such and such a day. Otherwise, it's just a dream. I don't know if I ever get it done or not. I hope so. It's got to be measurable. It's got to be achievable. One of you gentlemen on the front row, President of the United States, is that achievable for you? You better believe it is. Yes, it is. Is it achievable for me? Probably not. I'd have to go back to law school, become a lawyer, get all kinds of experience. You know, I just don't know if there's enough time. It's possible, but not likely. But you better believe it's achievable for you. But you would have to start down the path tomorrow. Our goals spiritually, they need to be achievable. They need to be achievable. They need to be relevant. And I think this is probably one of the more important things. Okay? If I set a goal this year, that by the end of the year, I have $1 million to bury in the backyard, that's probably not achievable, and it's sure the thunder not relevant. I don't need $1 million to bury in the backyard. That's stupid. You know? So it's not relevant. Now, if my goal is that if I want to improve my spiritual walk, I need to pray every day. That's achievable, it's measurable, and it's relevant. It's important. I got a question for you guys. I'd like somebody to answer it. I grew up heating a house with a wood fire. Who else here grew up heating a house with a wood fire? A couple people probably. When do we put wood on the fire? Before it goes out, very good. A voice of someone who heated with wood. I come home. My wife says to me, getting kind of cold in here. No kidding, the fire went out an hour ago. You know, the blower on the stove shuts off. Bet that thing's out of wood. Yeah, like an hour and a half ago. You know. You put wood on the fire before the fire goes out. So let's have this in a little spiritual content. The top fireplace there, obviously, the fire's gone out. The bottom one's cooking away down there. So if this local of the Church of Christ, right here in good old Phoenix, Arizona, is the fire, When's it time to put wood on the fire? Now. Now. Before it goes out. So, well, this church will always be here. I'm guessing the building will probably be here. It may not always have the sign Church of Christ on it. That would be up to you and I. Like I said, we received a nice warm fire. I come down here 30 years ago, lots of ministry, lots of people, lots of young people. And those young people grew up, and a lot of them have little ones now, some that's not so little anymore. But there comes a time. You have to put your boots on, put your jacket on, and go out to the wood pile and get some wood and bring it in and put it on the fire. Or the fire will go out. Anybody tell me how many locals were in Michigan at one time? 23? Someone forgot to put wood on the fire. God. Couple buildings left, one real local. They're all gone. When I moved down here 30 plus years ago, there were lots of ministry. Joel wasn't one of them. I wasn't one of them. Adam wasn't one of them. Dwayne wasn't one of them. I don't remember if Gordon was or not. The rest of them are gone. Hubert and Jim were ministry. And still are. I've mentioned several times from here that you and I, no matter your age, if you can understand what I'm saying, it's been given us to be the caretakers of the gospel in Phoenix, Arizona, in our generation. It's not up to Don anymore. It's not up to Hubert or Jim. They're not going to put wood on the fire anymore. Not a free ride. It might appear like one. Sometimes those of us that have put wood on the fire are tired. Maybe we don't feel like putting wood on the fire anymore. It doesn't matter. As long as the Lord gives us breath, it's still our job. Still our job. to fill a role, whether that's elected to an office or not. I know some of the folks we care dearly about gotten married, moved away. Some of them just moved away. A lot of the folks there in Michigan back in the day, they moved to Florida. Problem was, they never became a local in Florida. They just kind of disappeared. If you don't think that can happen here, don't put any wood on the fire. We'll watch it. We'll see someone else's name on the building. It's you and I. Most of you know I'm a superintendent at my work. Currently, I have three projects going on. They're multi-million dollars. If something happens on one of those jobs, somebody's killed, the building gets put in the wrong place. You know whose fault it is? Right here. The buck stops here. And I'm telling you, the responsibility for the Church of Christ, Phoenix, Arizona, the buck stops right here. You and I, every person that's sitting in the pew here, you own a piece of it. It's not someone else. Not Brother Don's job anymore. It's yours and mine. Mark, Mark chapter 4, verse 26, and he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as in a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself, first the blade and then the ear. And after the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put forth his sickle, because the harvest is come." I read this really in reference to what we've been talking about. Are you and I willing to put forth our sickle? I've jokingly said in the past, and probably to my shame, you have to marry or be born into the Church of Christ. We don't believe in going out there and sharing it with anybody, which isn't true, obviously. That's why I said to my shame. But here in the United States, it's almost true. We don't convert a lot of folks. We do a pretty good job in other countries. And I think the reason we do a pretty good job in other countries is because our brothers there hear the gospel. And they take it and they run with it. The good news. And you and I need to be more zealous. I'll stand first in line. I don't talk to people at my work about the gospel. I might mention God. I might mention prayer. I'm not proclaiming the Church of Christ. Are we willing in our sickle to the harvest? Jacob chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Nevertheless, the Lord God showed us our weaknesses, that we may know that it is by his grace and his great condescension unto the children of men that we have power to do these things." If we think for a second that of our own strength we're able to do anything, We're wrong. But by the condescension of God to you and I, right here, we can do anything. The sky is the limit, and I hope we believe that. That can help alleviate our fear. It can help strengthen us to do the things we don't really want to do. In my position at work, guess what? There's quite a bit of stuff I have to do that I don't really want to do. I get to have that very difficult conversation with an employee that I may fire. And I take no joy in that at all. I get to have that difficult conversation with an owner whose expectations have not been met. The buck stops here. And to you and I, we can do it. Not because we're strong, but because God is willing to give us power to do the things we need to do. He's able. He's willing. We have to reach out and grab it. Behold, great and marvelous are the words of the Lord, works of the Lord. How unsearchable are the depths of the mysteries of Him. And it is impossible that man should find out all his ways. We're not going to know everything, and it doesn't matter. And no man knoweth the ways, his ways, save it be revealed unto him. Therefore, brethren, despise not the revelation of God. He can give us direction if we allow Him to. If the status quo is good enough, guess what? It'll still be good enough, whether it is or not. I don't believe it is. I don't believe the Lord desires for a second that we resign ourselves to mediocrity. I don't think for a second He desires us to linger in the land of indecision, inability, insincerity, just hanging out, putting in our time. I walk my job site, hundreds of rooms in my building, so it's hard, it's easy for guys to hide. And I'll walk past a room and I'll see a scissor lift in there. It's a machine you get on, it'll take you up high to the ceiling. Up here and there. I won't say electrician, I'll say plumber. There leans a plumber. It's usually a drywaller, to be honest with you. There leans a drywaller on the scissor lift up there. So just walking by, you wouldn't see him. On his cell phone. He's not doing what he's getting paid to do. He might as well have a gun down at his boss's desk taking his money. He's just lingering. He's hanging out waiting for quitting time. I've asked guys before, see him down, gang box, wandering around, job. Hey, what you looking for? Just looking for quitting time. Just looking for quitting time. I know Jared's been on some jobs, guy, piece of pipe on his shoulder. Like this. 2 hours later, see the same guy go by. Same piece of pipe. This is a detriment to having too big a job. You know, I got 160 guys on my job. I can't keep track of all of them, nor do I try. But it's possible. You can just hang out, can't you, Jared? Hey, just look busy. Look busy. I don't think the Lord desires us to look busy in His service. To put our shirt and tie on and come to church and have a seat. Ain't cutting it. Not getting the job done. Looking busy isn't good enough. We've got to thrust in our sickle. Get about the business. Doesn't make any difference how old you are or how young you are. Do what you can do. My goal for this year, personally, is that I read at least one book a month on management skills. One book a month. That's not that big a deal. Why? Because I want to improve myself. I want to do better at the job I'm getting paid to do. I don't want to be stealing money from my employer. Is that something we do? Are we out to improve ourselves? Somehow, can I do better at serving the Lord? Can I learn to type? Can I learn to read better? You better believe it. Can I spend more time praying for my brothers and sisters? Absolutely. We can't fake it. Sometimes I have guys at my job tell me, they promoted so-and-so. And I'm like, is he really ready for that? Well, you just fake it until you make it. Just fake it until you make it. You can't fake this job because the boss is watching all the time. He knows what's in your heart. Desires that are incorrect. He knows about them. That drywaller, he's hanging out on that scissor lift up there. His boss has no idea where he's at. He just has to trust that he's doing something. And he is doing something, playing on his phone. That's not what he's getting paid to do. You can't fake it until you make it. Is there something we can do in our lives personally, old or young, to encourage God's people? To educate God's people? To enable ourselves to be a better leader of God's people, of the young people, of a ladies' group, of an old guys' group? Is there something we can do? And if there is, quit carrying a pipe around the job and get about it. Quit faking it. Get on with the work the Lord would have you to do. 12th verse, I don't remember if I read it or not. For behold, by the power of his word, man come upon the face of the earth, which earth was created by the power of his word. Wherefore, if God being able to speak and the world was, do we truly comprehend that? God didn't run out in the back 40 and find some clay. Oh, there's the earth. There's Neptune. There's Pluto. No, he didn't do that. He spoke. And it was. And he spoke, and man was created. That's the power that God has and is able to give you in your life. Oh, then, why not able to command the earth or the workmanship of his hands upon the face thereof according to his will and pleasure? If we're moving in his will and pleasure, guess what? His power. That he spoke in everything that we can touch, everything that we can imagine, everything that we can look at through a microscope, through a telescope. Either direction, teeny tiny or big, he spoke and it all was created. And if that's the God we serve and the God we believe in, what prevents us from doing anything? What handicaps us? What are we afraid of? Nothing. We should be afraid of nothing. Wherefore, brethren, seek not to counsel the Lord, but take counsel from his hand. We can't forget that. We can't forget that. Because what's our nature? Oh, hey, I'm a child of God. Get out of the way. My head's about this big around. No. We have to serve the Lord. The day, the moment we step out on our own, we're on our own. We have to take counsel from him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Is that true? Is that true? Probably not for most of us. We're human. We look, we see, we reason. But there comes a day and a time the decisions we make have to be based that God is in that decision. We walk by faith. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And in Paul's writing here, he talks about that. It's, we can't really be both. Either the Spirit of God is with us or we're about physical things. Either we act as humans, tangible, carnal, or we don't. We got to divorce ourselves from that lustful, carnal individual. Wherefore, we labor that whether presence or absent, we may be acceptable to Him. We're going to trip and fall. We're going to be carnal from day to day. But the desire, the motivating factor, the thing that enables us to accomplish is that we want to be acceptable to the Lord. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that which he hath done, whether they be good or evil. We're going to answer for it. It's not a freebie. It's not a freebie. You can't fake it. When you're standing there before the judgment bar of God, you cannot fake it. And to say, hey, my name was on the rolls in the Church of Christ, and it was the restored gospel. Sorry, ain't going to cut it. You either did it or you didn't. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. That's a pretty simple statement, isn't it? God's blessing will be upon you if you seek to be obedient. Chapter 12, verse 1. I believe we heard this today. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That doesn't sound like to me just part of it. That doesn't sound like to me just kind of a half-hearted effort. A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He didn't say, you judge and tell me what your reasonable service is. He's saying, when you present yourself a living sacrifice, that is your reasonable service. All in. All in. Nothing held back. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we need to do in this life. Prove what is the perfect will of God, that we might know who we serve. This verse I took from a sermon I preached on 8-9 last year. And it said, David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good cheer and do it. He's trying to encourage him. He's trying to encourage him. And that's why I told you when I started here tonight, my desire is to encourage you. There should be nothing on the planet that can discourage you. There's a lot of discouraging things out there. We all know that. But they're only discouraging if we allow them to discourage us. I'll bet you most of us get up every morning. Maybe not some of you young guys. Most of you of us get up every morning with a backache, a knee ache, an arm ache, a shoulder ache, a headache, something. Because that's the nature of this old body, isn't it? It starts breaking down. Every morning I get up, I'm like, is it time to go to work already? My back sure hurts. Oh well, get over it. As David was saying to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good cheer and do it. Get out there and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. What do we have to fear if God is with us? What challenge in life can we not conquer Oh, that hill's too high. Sorry, Lord, can't do that one. Maybe a different one. No. Just do it. Get out there and do it. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Until we finished our work here, he's not gonna let us go. We're not on our own. He's with us. He's able, standing by. The question is, do we believe it? Or is that just Andy up there just preaching another sermon? Just talking about the same old thing he always talks about? When is your day? It's January 3rd. We've already burned up 3 days of this year. And you blink your eye and we'll burn the rest of them. When you stand before the judgment bar of God, will you have something good in the rolls? Or just another wasted year? Just hanging out trying to figure out what I want to do next? Or did you impact someone for good? Sometimes we get in these conversations at work, and you know what I tell them? I want to impact the outcome. For work, I want a better quality building. I want it to be perfect. I want it to be built on time. And I don't want anybody hurt or killed on it. Somebody has to influence the outcome. Are you and I influencing the outcome? When we have this discussion 1 year from today, the first sacrament of next year, will these pews be full? Or will there be some more people missing? Will they be overflowing? Or are we just sitting here with a frown on our face wondering what happened? Gee, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Each one of us didn't get in the pool, our part of the boat. Are you engaged, or are you just watching the water roll by? I believe this was from the same sermon back there. I just copied it and pasted it into here. I think it was last year, the first sixth month. It says, where are you at today in your life? I asked you guys that question 6 months ago. Are we the same place we were 6 months ago? Spiritually? Physically, emotionally? Have you activated God's plan of redemption in your life? Do you know who you serve? And are you persuaded that He is able to keep that which you've committed? Those words need to be burnt into the recesses of your mind. What motivates you? What gets you off the couch and down the road? What gets you up in the morning with a zeal in your heart, with the love of Christ on your mouth? What is it? Find it, and then feast on it. Do we live in repentance daily? I hope so. I hope we seek to repent before the Lord. Is our trust in the Lord or in man? You know, I hear all kinds of people, I'll just be so glad when the vaccine gets to us. Okay, I don't care if you want to take the vaccine. No, I'm fine with that. My faith is not in the vaccine. It's just not. I may get it, I may not. I don't really care. It has no impact on my life. I'm not looking for man to save me. If I get sick tomorrow and die, I don't really care. I don't really care, because that's up to the Lord. It's not up to me. Is your joy full? We had a little different reunion this year, and one thing we talked about was joy. Sometimes I feel like the situation in the world and the TV and the good news and the bad news, it sucks the joy out of us, just like a big vacuum cleaner. Gone. And if you're looking for joy that comes from man, it's going to be gone. Our joy has to come from the heavens. Has to originate from God Almighty. And penetrate our heart. And just boil out of us everywhere. If you're that person, if you can show joy in adversity, if you can show joy in problems, in troubles, you don't think that's going to be an example before people? You don't think people are going to want to know what creates it? If you're whining and moaning and sniveling like everybody else, you'll be like everybody else. No joy. Who do we serve? Do we truly serve Jesus Christ? A risen, resurrected, alive and well, willing to be active in your life, Redeemer. Because if we do, our life should show it. It should show it. And so this coming year, whether you've set goals, whether you have a New Year's resolution to lose weight or whatever, get strong, eat healthy. That's always my New Year's resolution until I start drinking Dr. Pepper again. Whatever it is, it should be something that enables you to greater serve the Lord. I question everything. That's a positive and a negative, I'm here to tell you. I question what I believe and why. I question who I am and why. I question what motivates me, where I'm going in life. Because I want the Lord to influence those outcomes. And I know when He's influencing that outcome, then I will influence the outcome of others. So personally, as I've said throughout this last year, God is good. God is good in my life. My life is good. My joy is good. I'm excited to get up in the morning. Sometimes a little slow, but I get up in the morning and I'm excited for another day, and I thank the Lord for another day of life and an opportunity to get out there and thrust my sickle in, to draw my sword and enter into the battle. I hope you are engaged in life. And I challenge you for this coming year, 2021, get off the couch. Whatever couch you have in your life. I'm not saying necessarily physically the couch. Whatever spot of ease you have. And challenge yourself to come up higher. To take the next rung on your spiritual ladder. To commit to serve the Lord. Commit to serve this local. To raise your hand and say, yeah, I'll do that. I'd be glad to serve. Yeah, I'll do that. I'm willing. I challenge you. Everyone from the oldest to the youngest. There's something you can do to influence the outcome of this local. It's time to get up and go to the wood stack and get wood and put it on fire. Thank you.